And welcome back to the August 2nd edition of In the Moment Tech Radio. I'm your host, Ken Osborne. We have gathered the experts today to talk tech and answer your questions if you have any. In the Kirby Family Studio here in Sioux Falls, we have Amos Asap. Hey, Amos.
Hey, good morning.
Glad to have you back on board. Yeah. Yeah, cool day out there.
West River. That'd be a good morning
right.
still,
Welcome
right?
Welcome, West River
yeah.
folks. Absolutely.
Yeah, Amos is here, and John T. Meyer, all the way down the street from Lemonly.
All the way down, not too
yeah.
far.
And you're back. You weren't here last time. You were retreating.
Yeah. We did our company retreat up in Minneapolis. So basically, we just get away from the office, kind of separate your normal routine, and we talk about some learning and growth, development, where we're going as a company, how we can be better, do some bonding. We caught a Twins game, a walk-off home run. That was pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it was good.
And bang for the buck there at the end. Well, we're going to talk. We're going to talk a little bit about corporate culture a little later in the show.
Sure.
We have a clip. You were on an SDPB program earlier this week.
Yeah, just out here in the lobby, yeah.
Making a living. And it talked about corporate culture, which is exactly the same thing, what you just mentioned. But we're going to take a little bit of a riff off of that and talk tools and things for remote workers.
Yes.
But that's in another segment.
Yeah.
But that's very cool. And the show, by the way, the Making a Living show on corporate culture, was fascinating. I didn't catch it live, so I caught it on tape or whatever, video file or whatever. And I put that link out there. If people want to see that, it's on our Facebook page. So if you go to facebook.com/techradio, or if you just go to watch.sdpb.org and look for Making a Living, you're going to find that video with you on it and a few other experts. And I appreciated what they had to say. I don't know. Dug their groove or whatever. I really thought that they had inspiring messages about how to treat employees and get your mind wrapped around inspiring them and what to do to help them and the woman we're going to hear from is an HR person and that's a very short clip, but it's going to set up our second segment and we're going to talk all the way to the second segment if I don't shut up about it. But anyway, that's coming up later in the show. So we have some exciting things doing there. But folks, it's an interactive program. If you have questions, we're going to try to provide the answers on Facebook or simply facebook.com/techradio. You can post your comments and questions there. Don't be shy. You can send us a text. It's 956-SDPB. That's 956-7372. And our phone number is 800-852-0214. Twitter users, you can find me at KentSDPB, and the email address inthemoment@sdpb.org is probably one of the more popular places people get a hold of us, inthemoment@sdpb.org. Well, we're not going to get around talking about this data breach from Capital One, Amos.
I was not involved in it.
At all, huh? Didn't get an email from Capital One saying that you were one of the guys?
Never had a Capital One account, so I wasn't involved in that at all. But, certainly is kind of a frustrating thing that everybody's got to go through this yet again.
Well, I don't think I ever had a Capital One account.
Is it 100 million accounts?
It's at least, and they're saying it's even bigger because they got some screenshots of this cat's computer, and it's got stuff from Ford and University of Michigan and Ohio DOT, and so it's much broader than they originally thought it was going to be. But the one most folks are concerned about is the Capital One, and I was just going to say I don't think I've ever gone out and applied for a Capital One credit card, but my Cabela's is now. I believe through Capital One. My Sears is now through Capital One. I've got an old Sony from back in the day that's Capital One. Yeah. I mean, it's just...
Yeah. The issuing bank, absolutely.
I've never applied for a Capital One card, but all of a sudden I have three Capital One accounts.
That's a good point.
Are you in that pool then, potential pool?
Well, absolutely. And Sears did send... Or not Sears. Sony did send me a note and said, hey, you weren't one of them, but we're keeping an eye on it for you. And we'll see, but I have not gotten a notification that I was one of the folks, and I guess it's probably going to be after the show today. I'll go out and do a little bit more research on it. But Amos, what can you tell us about what happened and if we learned anything?
You know, one of the things that we talk about a lot when we're talking about security things is how long it generally takes before somebody realizes that they've been hacked, which in this case turns out to be not the case if we're to believe the information that we've been given. You know, there's kind of a rule of thumb that you most companies, or I don't know, somewhere in the north of 60% of the companies won't know for 6 months after they've, they won't know they've been hacked until 6 months after it's happened, right? The telltale signs don't pop up. Generally, you aren't investigating a hack issue. You're investigating something else, and you stumble upon that particular item that shows that you have been. But in this case, they're saying that the breach was actually on July 19th, and that the that it was discovered shortly thereafter. So we're talking less than 2 weeks worth of time between when it purportedly happened and the time that that they started doing something about it.
Which is fast compared to
it's
usual.
It's crazy fast, yeah. And then generally that's something that's going to take... Generally you'll hear him say, well, we found out about this in July of 2017 and we've been working to track it down. Because this person's already been arrested, right? I mean, they've already found her. They've already arrested her. I mean, this is moving at the speed of, the internet, really. I mean, it's really going fast. So... 106 million accounts were affected, and not quite the size of the Equifax breach, but still kind of an issue. Which Equifax thing? That's an issue right now too, right? With the settlement through the FTC and such, but that's for another segment, I guess. And so, about 140,000 Social Security numbers, 80,000 linked bank account numbers were exposed, and then there's some other we call PII or personally identifiable information that's been exposed as well. So it's kind of a big deal if you're a Capital One customer.
The biggest take that I saw was less about, hey, all this personal information was stolen, because it sometimes feels like, another day. Yeah. But the speed in which they brought it up and the fact that they actually caught someone, because usually they don't, right? And so it was kind of like, hey, look, we finally caught somebody and they're in trouble, but it's still doesn't make you, if you lost your information, it doesn't make you feel any better.
And it almost is, look at us, look at how good we're doing. We had a security breach, but we caught them. That is a big deal. It's something new that we don't hear.
I wonder if it is.
Was it that admirable? It was a female hacker.
It was.
And wasn't she pretty, was she pretty vocal about doing it, or how did they catch her?
You know, that was my understanding. I guess I haven't read too deeply into that one, but she was not.
So I don't know how impressive it is that they caught her. Someone's like, I did it.
That's really old school, going on and bragging, compared to
that's usually what hackers are looking for, right? Attention.
Well, it used to be. Now it's just money. I think. I don't, I hope this is a sign of the times as far as the speed at which this is being resolved. I wonder if in times of past, if, like I say, you run across this thing and it's maybe an old issue, but they start trying to patch it, and then the company, I don't know, maybe sits on it for a while going, we got a quarterly report coming out. Maybe we don't want to say something. I hope this is a trend.
Well, and a lot of times they sit on it for PR purposes. They want to make sure that they've got all their ducks in a row.
Sure.
They want to make sure that they've done everything they can. And in this case, with today's issues that come up, it surprises me that not everybody is as well prepared as Capital One is, because it's not if you get a breach, it's when you get a breach. And you need to just make sure you've got your playbook ready to go. Mm-hmm. This is what we're going to do. These are the people who are going to be involved. This is how we're going to handle it. And when you do that, you don't come out smelling quite as bad as if you were trying to keep it a little more of a secret until you were ready.
And I wonder how much of it is the cyber operations folks, the government, and folks that are working on it are saying, hey, keep this,
while
we're investigating, while we have an active investigation, let's not
tip
the hat.
That helps to contribute to this, the fact that they caught her so quickly, the fact that they weren't needing to fly under the radar, and maybe, in some cases they want the bad folks to continue to do things, hoping that they'll either trip up and leave some sort of calling card or information that would expose who they are. The fact that these were caught so quickly probably helps.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of trails to follow, and
and
you're going through a lot of servers that are there to keep you from tracking things like this. So, yeah, that's got to be a difficult situation. And hey, that's an interesting take on a problem that we've heard over and over and over and over. So, appreciate the update on that. You did mention Equifax, and there is a settlement out, and folks are saying, might not want to take that $125. It might not be $125.
Well, yeah. And at this point, good luck, right? Because was it $31, $32 million that they got for a settlement out of Equifax? And if you then filed for the $125, you actually could, if you could document that you had extra time taken out, I believe it was up to 10 hours you could claim without any documentation, and then up to 20 if you had documentation. You could actually claim those hours as lost wages and get additional money. Well, the problem is that so many people were involved, and it's such a well-publicized, hey, go get your $125, that the numbers just don't work out with $32 million being the source of the money, right? There's just too many people involved in that. So now they're saying, you know what, maybe you guys shouldn't take the $125. Maybe you should look at taking the
because that would be a lot more monitoring. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be worth more. It's a more valuable service.
Was it either or? The credit monitoring or the $125 bucks?
You had your choice, yeah.
Man, it seems like it should have been both.
I don't disagree, yeah.
It does.
So yeah, you can take like essentially on your like tax return, taking 10 to 20 hours, or what did you mean by that?
Oh, no, you could actually, if you could file some sort of documentation that said you had lost wages.
You spent that much time.
You spent that much time working on maybe you had your identity stolen, or maybe you were working through getting things filed, whatever it was, that because of the Equifax breach, you lost wages from work for whatever it was. And again, that's up to you.
If you could document what your hourly wage
could,
is.
Yeah, you could file for that too.
Got it. Interesting.
Very interesting. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the situation that we were talking earlier about the remote tools working from home. It's a situation that you mentioned on the show.
The topic.
People are going to need to start dealing with it. Unless you're manufacturing.
Correct.
People are going to need to start. We're going to actually hear you say that after this. You are in the moment on SDPB Radio. I'm Ken Osborne. We have successfully switched gears and talking tech with the computer guys. Amos is here from Exigent Solutions in Sioux Falls, and John T. is here from Lemonly. I pucker up a little bit every time. I just am so refreshed.
There we go.
With the Lemonly brand. Well, you were on a program this week, Making a Living, and it was about corporate culture, and it was a very vibrant discussion. And one bit that caught me was a little exchange. You started it, and a woman, Jody Beeler, who's an HR consultant from Salmon's Financial Group here in town, had a comment, and I wanted to play that on today's show.
South Dakota companies need to really be prepared outside of a manufacturing type of work environment or retail where you have to physically be there for a work from anywhere, work remotely, distributed teams. Like, this is coming. It's already happening, and something that I need to think about, because I think that people always say the next generation, but I think all people want it, that flexibility.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I would say that for us over the course of the past 3 years has been a big shift.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's harder for you guys to shift that.
And really embracing the idea, but then also continuing to focus and foster those relationships. You know, a lot of leaders will come and say, okay, this is I support this idea, but, you know, how do I build this relationship with this employee? And so oftentimes I'll ask the question, well, how would you do that with the person that's in the office? Well, I might stop by and talk to them. I might see them when I'm, you know, heading out the door on my lunch break. I said, okay, but how can you replicate that with a remote employee, a telework employee? Well, I could talk to them. It just might be over the phone. I said, yeah, but you're still having that connection. You're still having that conversation. Excellent. How could you see them? Well, I suppose we could use our technology and use video cams and webcams. Okay, great. You know, so once they get past that first kind of roadblock of, wait a minute, I can't see that employee every single day. They are much more bought into the fact that this is the new way of working. Yeah. And how do I adjust to that? And how do I adapt my approach? And in the end, we're seeing you know, great results, great trust between employees and leaders, and our productivity is well.
And I guess what sparked my the productivity.
Yeah.
I think there's a stigma about telework and working from home that you're in your shorts and you're on the deck and you're having a cocktail and you're claiming it as work hours, but it's a reality.
Yeah.
Your first tell us about your first telework employee.
Yeah. So I said that in the discussion on Tuesday was we got a little bit lucky because in December of 2011, Amy and I, my business partner, we were a company of two. We hired our first employee through a design job board from Serbia. And she was a full-time, we paid her a full-time salaried employee. This wasn't like an offshore, like let's save money type of situation. We mm-hmm. paid her a US like design salary. And she worked for us for about 3.5 years. I video conferenced her back then with Skype. We didn't have Zoom at the time. And I've never met her physically in person. I never met her. We tried to bring her over a couple times and then, it didn't work out with her schedule and with her life. But, I was in a kind of a ironic way. We just embraced it right away and it wasn't strange for us. And so remote has been a part of Lemonly's culture since almost day one, about sure. the fourth month. And what I was trying to say on that talk, especially here in South Dakota, is I just think companies need to be prepared for this way of work and need to be ready for however this seismic change, which really is already happening, but maybe a little bit slower to come here to South Dakota. If I weren't a business owner myself, I would honestly probably try to get a job at like a San Francisco company in a San Francisco salary and live right here in Sioux Falls. That's probably what I would do.
I didn't think about that.
There's a little bit of an arbitrage right there, right? So, hey, I'm worth it, but I want to live here where is home and family and the lifestyle that I want to have. And so when you start talking about that, the reason why I say South Dakota companies need to think about it is it's going to be a talent play, right? It's going to be the best team wins. You want the best talent. You need to be willing to give them the type of work situation that they're looking for that still makes sense for both employee and company. And so I was encouraged to hear Jody. It's much easier for Lemonly, right? We're 18 employees and we've been remote since almost day one. But for Salmon's 1,500, I think she said 4 or 5 office locations, they're starting to embrace it. She said that they do Fridays. I think the office, they start work on 7:30 during the week and then they finish at 12:30 on Fridays, let right. people go home, start yep. their weekend. If you need to go to that child's soccer game in the afternoon, you can kind of adjust your schedule. So even these small tweaks, I think, are these flexibility options. It may not be work, you know, I never see you work 100% remotely, but these flexibility work from home, telecommuting, companies need to consider this.
I have so many questions. So your telework employees, are they in? Are any of them in the area, or are they all multi-state, multi-region, multi-country?
Yeah. In our 8 years, we've had Vancouver, New York, Miami, Omaha, Idaho, Minneapolis, and Serbia. Today, we have 2 in Vancouver, 1 in New York, and 1 actually here in Sioux Falls, who just doesn't come into the office. So she has some dietary restrictions and issues. It's just some health things she's dealing with. So it's much easier for her to be at home and kind of cook her own food and be in an environment she's comfortable with. And so, yeah, that's an example of she's going to be happier, healthier, more productive at home than at the office.
That was going to be my next question was how many actual physical employees down the street here do you allow to work from home?
All of them. So
all of them.
Yeah. So I'm still working with Amy, my business partner, on telling her this idea of sometimes I walk in, especially on a Friday, it just tends to be a day that people seem to be working from home. I walk in and maybe 4 people were in the office this morning out of our team of, you know, 18, but I guess 15 would be based in the office.
Okay.
I'm like, why do we even have this office?
Well, and here's a concept that it was difficult for me. I was speaking to a relative who has a business in Sioux Falls, and a majority of his employees work remotely. But he said, you know, I still have to have a physical office. I still have to have a place where my employees can come in and park their stuff. He didn't use those exact words, sure. but what he meant was pictures of the kids, calendar, you know, an office to occupy that felt like it was theirs.
Yeah,
even though they weren't there very much, maybe once or twice a week.
Sure.
But and I wonder if that's to not placate, not soothe, but have a grounding sort of a thing with the employee.
I do like that idea, right? So like I've even thought about that. Like maybe we still have an office, but it's a very different office. Like mm-hmm. nobody has a spot. So this is not, I would challenge the idea of, like, to put my pictures. Like that stuff should just go home, right? But you maybe don't have your desk, but you have a desk that like one day might be me, but tomorrow might be Amos. And so a gathering place, sort of like mm-hmm. a place for team calls, client meetings, a little bit of like a Monday morning stand up or a rallying cry. But maybe not a, this is my spot. I sit here all the time. Don't touch my stuff.
He was very adamant that he needed to have that for his employees. His employees sort sure. of demanded it.
Interesting.
And I don't, I don't think it's probably depends on what kind of work they're doing or anything like that or specific. I just wonder how much of it is still baked into our systems that I need to go to work today.
Yeah, 100%. And that's like this topic came up in the a discussion about culture. And so I'd say part of it's culture based. And so mm-hmm. there are many shops that are already saying businesses, I should say, not just shops that say like, we don't do it. It's not a part of our culture. Right. And when Marissa Mayer took over as CEO of Yahoo, she's no longer, but she got rid of being able to work from home and said, everyone's got to be here. We're going to build a culture. We're going to build a team. I want an environment, everyone on the same page. And she got a lot of heat for that at the time.
How'd that work out? Do we know?
Yeah. Yeah. For not good for Yahoo or for her, but
okay.
She's no longer there and they got bought by, was it Verizon?
Yeah.
So,
which is a good deal.
But I think the boldness of the statement was more so for people in South Dakota to start thinking about it because it's happening. Tell me about your shop.
Well,
you
guys... yeah, a couple of thoughts on that. One, I actually am a teleworker 80% of the time, I suppose. I do have a desk that I can go in and I can sit at, but I don't. A couple of reasons for that. One is I'm frequently out of the office anyway, just sure. visiting with customers,
traveling.
Right? Traveling. I work out of the Minneapolis office quite a bit. And then when I am working from my home office, I find it much more productive. There is the immediate, well, are people going to be as productive at home as they are at work? Mm-hmm. From 8 to 5, are they going to be paying attention or are they going to be sitting at home watching Oprah Winfrey?
Yep.
Which I don't even know if that's a show anymore.
I don't think so.
But I guess, are you? Are you as productive? Not watching Oprah, right. But are you?
Right. So the answer from 8 to 5 is I am not. Right, I am not as productive as I would be from 8 to 5 in the office, but I am also answering my phone at 6:30 in the morning because my phone happens to be ringing. Where if it was sitting on my desk in the office and it was ringing because of somebody calling from another time zone, I'm working at 6:30 in the morning. I'm also sitting on my couch at 4:30 typing up a report as I watch TV, as I have that cocktail in my hand. And that spreads out and ends up, here I am at 9:30 at night. I'm still working, maybe not as condensed, but I'm still working those longer hours. And so I don't think that productivity between 8 and 5 is necessarily as compact and as condensed as it would be if you were at the office. But I think it more than makes up for itself by having those longer hours that honestly make it seem like not quite as much work because you're spreading it out.
Is teleworking more conducive to people that are on call quite a bit? Because an emergency comes up, he's got to go.
Sure.
There are jobs that you put down at 5 o'clock and walk away from, and then you don't come back to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is it more conducive to one or the other?
Yeah, I think that's where like co-working comes in place, or like the person who is 100% remote, who is doing the coffee shop thing, but does a lot of phone calls. I think that's difficult. Wi-Fi gets spotty. There's a crying baby. Coffee shop is just noisy. So I think you have to consider your role type and job role. Sometimes, yeah, I think the home office is great for that scenario. What Amos brought up is a fascinating topic that we're already seeing at Lemonly, which is this kind of seesaw balance of, yes, I can stay. I can kind of start my day whenever I want to. Yes, I can be in my pajamas. Yes, I can sit on the couch. Like, plus, plus, plus for the employee. Mm-hmm. But then on the flip side, there is this sentiment, you know, we use, so we haven't talked about the tools yet, but Zoom, Slack, email, we have it on our phone, right? Have it on our computer. There is this sentiment then that like, I'm kind of always on. I'm kind of always working, right? Especially probably more in Amos's world or maybe our tech client world. I'm sometimes envious. My brother, younger brother, just moved back to Brookings and is now practicing with my dad. He's an orthodontist, right? So when he leaves the office, the practice, he is done. Like until the next day, there's no more mouths to teeth to straighten at home.
Come on over to the house at 9 o'clock at
and
night.
So we'll do it there. That's going to be a rarity in our future. To those types of jobs that do that, where you really literally like unplug. And so when you go to conferences and hear thought leaders, people say it's not about work-life balance anymore. It's about work-life integration, right? We no longer leave our personal life at the door, quote unquote, at the work door. We bring it with us, but we also kind of bring our work home.
Yeah. And you know, another thing that employers need to be thinking about too, and I talked about this to many of our customers, is that as they're doing that, as they provide the tools, whether it's a Zoom or a VPN or a conference system that is on their machine, and as employees are getting in and doing their work, sometimes the employer is not thinking, wow, this is basically somebody who's working on my network, but they're just farther away than just down the hall, right? And they don't really take into account the security risks that go along with that. And of course, that's my mindset because that's what I deal with every day. And you know, the fact that somebody might be working on a Lemonly project from 8 to 5, and then later that night their kid gets on that same computer and plays Fortnite and downloads the latest expansion pack, which turns out to be a worm or a virus, which then the next morning when they VPN in becomes a pretty terrible consequence on the corporate environment. So there's a lot of those sorts of things that go along with that. Taking your laptop and doing remote working at a coffee shop on an unsecured wireless Wi-Fi, connection. Yeah. Most companies are doing a minimal amount of security there. They're at least they've got some ideas, but they're not really taking into account what could happen if the situation where you're allowing other people to work on those computers that then accesses corporate environments and networks. And
I think that's probably of the concerns or the common responses. That's probably the most legitimate one to me is security and IT. And because if it's like, are they working? How can I trust them? Well, how can you trust them to work when they're in the office? Right.
Are they getting their job done?
Then you're hiring the wrong people boss.
Like, it's all achievable. We can secure those things. They're just, you know, now you're talking about putting in a little extra effort and a little extra money that they hadn't thought about before.
Yeah, I agree there.
And it's just part of that game.
Well, let's talk about a few of those tools because I think that was part of the discussion. Years ago, there probably weren't some of these tailored solutions. I don't know if Slack was around.
No.
And by the way, I think that's a horrible name. are we slackers if we're on Slack?
Yes, I don't know. The origin, I don't know which one came first. Like, you know,
Picking up the Slack?
Well, they also call it an acronym. They say it's a searchable log for, what is it? All things something in knowledge, communication and knowledge. Searchable log, all things communication, knowledge, or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Slack.
Yep.
So it kind of sounded more like they came up with the name and then later justified the acronym.
Sure.
But we were pretty early on at Slack at Lemonly 2013. So that's 2013. Prior to that, we would chat and do all calls on Skype. Now we use Slack plus Zoom. So Zoom and Slack both, you know, IPO'd this year. We talked about that earlier in the spring. So yeah, these type of tools are, and I don't know what Amos would say, but you know, from these tools really started in the startup atmosphere, those type of smaller companies, but Zoom and Slack are being embraced by corporate companies and enterprise.
So let's back up a little bit and explain what Slack is. Yeah. It's a piece of software, and I'm assuming Lemonly has at least one channel, if not many.
Yeah, several,
How many do you have?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I'm not in all of them. So we have, like, there's a mom's chat. I know all the moms are on that, and they'll talk about, like, hey.
Mom things.
Yeah, yeah. And there's so then subsequently there's a dad's one, right?
And do they get down to client-based?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, they do. That's the real value, right? The project. So to back up, it's a almost like, if you can think about, depending on your age and your history of tech adoption, like an MSN or like a chatting tool. It's mm-hmm. it's at the premise, it's a chatting tool, but a little more robust than that. You can share files, you can search the history, you can do video calls directly from the product now. You can mention people. So yeah, so we would create a channel if we start a new project with, say, Netflix, a Lemonly client, a Netflix project. And we only put the people who need to be on that channel in that thread. And then they get to see all the conversation. And so they're trying to kill email, right? If you are sick of email, or you think your whole life revolves around your inbox, Slack is trying to get rid of that. You could argue with mixed success, right? So I think in many ways I love Slack for Lemonly. In other ways, it's just one more thing I have to check, much right. like email.
Yeah, you have to physically open it up and look at it, yeah. which is the same problem you're going to have with, there's a whole Microsoft suite of products, SharePoint. And yeah. Teams and there's a whole
Facebook even has theirs workplace, they call it, I think. Mm-hmm.
There are very corporate programs that do these things as well.
True.
But Slack's been around. I think one of the newer ones, Discord,
yes.
is a ton of sort audio of chat
in
based
the gaming.
It's
world.
Big in gaming, but it's very similar in channels. And assigning folks to channels and projects and things, and then yep. sub channels from those that get into, you know, cooking and your kids yep. and yep. dogs and whatever. But yep. it gets into certain different projects.
I mean, I've heard of some families that have Slack now with older kids. Mm-hmm. Like they have a family Slack, and so it could be chores. Or it could be vacation plans, and everyone can weigh in on what they want to their vacation.
If that's how you want to communicate, I guess that's available, and it's very structured and yeah. rigid, and
yeah.
and you can at people and yep. send messages and things. And so so Slack's one, and you mentioned Zoom, which is a video conferencing.
Yeah, Zoom's fascinating because it's really not. They didn't innovate on anything. we had GoToMeeting. We had. I don't know. List all the Cisco WebEx. All those. Kind of enterprisey corporate software
Skype,
tools.
Skype, absolutely. Skype for business.
And Zoom just came along. We were like, we're going to make it quick. We're going to make it easy. You click a link, up pops a video chat, and you go.
Yeah.
And it just won the market by being better, not really more innovative, but just easier and quicker.
And more intuitive.
Yeah.
I was just having a conversation about Zoom itself as opposed to WebEx, which is the kind of 800-pound gorilla in this environment, about how when a company switched from using Cisco's WebEx to Zoom, the number of help desk tickets
sure.
for meetings, for video conferencing meetings, was cut by 75%
well,
because Zoom was easier to use. People who did not have technology backgrounds were able to do it.
Good case study there.
It
yeah.
is. Yeah.
Was it multiple users as well came on
oh,
earlier
yeah,
with
you
Zoom?
Can... You can
Which
have.
It's difficult to do with Skype, or they wanted to charge a premium service
yeah,
or premium
yeah.
fee. But with Zoom, you just pop in as many people. I'm assuming there's a limit.
I don't know. Free to pay. I know you can. I've seen Zooms of 100 people. I mean,
wow.
I think it depends on your subscription.
Some folks
level.
Use it for more of like a webinar type of thing. So some are just listening, but maybe I'm on video. They have a breakout room feature. So if we were having like a corporate meeting or a team meeting, and then I wanted to actually kind of. Just jump outside with just Amos
yep.
and I.
Yep. Sidebar.
Like, sidebar. Yeah, you can do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Zoom and Slack are kind of killer apps in the.
I think if you have remote teams, those two are almost table stakes.
We should mention that neither of them have paid for today's highlights or
sponsors
sponsorship.
They're not sponsors. Yeah.
Right.
No.
Just happen to be experiences.
No, but what are some? Are there other tools?
Yeah,
or?
I mean, like Google Hangouts would be another tool. Then you get into the project management space where you have like Asana, Basecamp, Trello.
Oh,
these kind
boy,
of project
yeah.
project management tools where like
you have milestones.
Our files are here and our to-dos and our deadlines. And non-remote companies use those too, but that's definitely this sort of collaboration software.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. The fact that so much software is now going to what's called a SaaS-based, which is software as a service, and the fact that you don't have to have something necessarily installed on your desktop. You just go to a web page, right?
Browser,
and that web
yeah.
page provides that. So basically, you've got access to your applications, whether you're at the office, you're at home, on your phone, you go to grandma's, you're in a kiosk at an airport, wherever it happens to be, you can get to these things. That has really helped the adoption of remote workers and their ability to access things in a secure way, because that web-based is has some inherent securities in it that maybe you don't going through like a VPN or something like it.
Yeah.
Fascinating. I'm sure this is not the last time we're going to talk about this.
The thing that the last thought I'll leave you with that I've been thinking about a lot. So everything we just talked about tool-wise is about collaboration. It's about work. It's about how to do work faster, more efficiently, easier across locations. All the companies out there, in my view, are tackling the work. I don't think anyone's focusing on the people. And I think there's going to be an interesting space where, as much as I'm an advocate for remote work and where it goes, I'm very pro and I'm trying to get South Dakota companies to think about it. I think there's what happens to all the water cooler moments, right? The moments where we run into each other. We're seeing all these stats and these studies about, especially millennials are lonely, they're depressed, anxiety. I don't want to live in a world where everyone becomes almost like a mercenary. They just clock in, work, and clock out, right? And they lose that place. Like, you know, Starbucks was always trying to be the third place. You had home, you had work, and you had a coffee shop. Now people have one place. They have home, work, and the digital space is all like a home on their computer. And so I'm not sure what the answer is, but it's something I think about
a
lot.
You know, we actually ran into that, and we're trying to mitigate that by having meeting Mondays, where it's not required, but it's desired that people come into the office on Mondays for those water cooler moments, so that the company can buy donuts and you can stand around the collaboration table and draw on the whiteboard and have those people interactions that you just don't get, even if you're doing video conferencing.
Yeah.
So a balance is what's going to need to get struck.
Weird. Like everything in life.
Very,
moderation, right?
Very interesting. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's sort of a potpourri roundup of the news of the week. We have a couple little tidbits to share, and we'll take questions and comments as well. More after this. And welcome back to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. The way to get a hold of us is via our Facebook page, facebook.com/techradio. You can post your comments or questions there. Please don't be shy. Our text number is 956-SDPB. That's 956-7372. And In the Moment at sdpb.org is our email address. We had every intention of moving on. and we just discovered during the break that we don't...
blew through the break.
We can't move on from this. There's a couple more really important things we need to communicate. And I was mentioning the HR aspect of this with hourly employees, and that there are companies that have really strict rules about employees doing what we were just talking about. Before 8 o'clock and after 5 o'clock, an expanded workday sort of a thing, not doing that. You mentioned a great point.
Yeah, I just think it's important as if you're the manager, the leader, the CEO, whatever your role is, to set boundaries. And so I've heard of some companies that, and Amos could explain this from an IT perspective, but essentially they just set the server shuts off at like 6 p.m. So you can't send emails. Most email providers have features now of like a send later thing. Mm-hmm. So what I try to do, I don't mind this kind of always working world, because for me as the CEO, as the entrepreneur minded type of person, I'm kind of always thinking about
work. It's become second nature to
anyway.
You.
And so Paige is, like my wife is like, okay, focus. Like, let's not think about work right now. But it's kind of who I am. But I have to be very intentional as a leader to not set that. That is not the precedent for the rest of the team, right? So I pay them a salary. They go home. Some weeks maybe they do more than 40 hours, but we really talk a lot about trying to do a 40-hour week at Lemonly. And so if I'm sending emails at 10 p.m. or Slack messages at 11, then they feel pressured. Like, should I be responding to that? Should I be working more? Am I slacking?
So you think I'm blowing them off? I don't answer at 8 o'clock
and
in the morning.
I think that's really important. And so I've heard of cultures where, after 6, you don't send emails until 8 a.m. the next day, or we'll shut them off for you. And so setting boundaries, both as a leader, employer, but also as an employee, is important.
Okay, great point.
Yeah, the other thing we were talking about is that there become some gray areas where one of the things when I'm doing some risk assessments with companies is we talk about your intellectual property and where those lines blur is when you've got somebody who's working from home who is working maybe on a work laptop, maybe on their home computer. Maybe they're working during 8 to 5, maybe they're working after hours. But as those, as it starts to become muddy as to what you're specifically working on, what happens when that individual comes up with the next Amazon.com idea or the sure. next Slack idea or the next whatever, you know, the next billion-dollar idea is?
Lightning strikes.
How do we determine mm-hmm. whether that is now the IP of the worker? Because they were doing it at 9:30 at night. Sure, it was on their laptop from work, but they yeah. were doing it on the couch
yeah.
while they were also surfing Facebook on their work laptop. Or does it become the IP of the...
Generally, I think those employee contracts are pretty stringent on... Basically, if you work here, everything's ours.
Yeah, basically. That's what it comes down to. They just need to do
but
it because it's difficult
it's
to define
blurry.
It
yeah.
As anything else. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, as if I were an employee, I would almost have a separate laptop, right? Like I'd have a personal laptop at home or something like that.
But you're working, let's say you're working on
something.
But then
it's still on the cloud, right? You're like yeah. in a software tool.
I mean, that, you know, like the idea of where Slack came from. Wow, this email is great for communication, but I can't store files. I can't go back and easily search. I can't go back and click a button and have video show up. So I'm going to invent Slack. And there it is. It was something that they came up with for a business purpose, but now does that fall under their employer's IP,
sure.
and do they get all the royalties from it? It hasn't been too big of an issue that we've seen, but it certainly could cause some issues.
Yeah, then you mentioned similar but different is just the aspect of time and hours and how many hours you work, right?
Right.
So if you're a contractor,
there have been times where an employee will come back on a company and said, I answered this. I was routinely answering these emails after 5 o'clock. Where's my compensation?
Sure.
And that gets
your freelancer or that, hourly employee or
that gets a few more rules instituted at the HR level.
Yeah.
And I understand that.
Are any of your remote workers hourly?
We only have two hourly employees, and okay. neither are remote.
And I just don't come across that very often where there are remote workers who are hourly. Those hourly employees tend to be in-house in my
experience. Very interesting.
And I think it's for that reason.
Are you project-based or are you salaried then?
Salaried.
Not you, but your employees.
The rest of the people, yeah, salaried.
They are salaried.
Yep. We do timesheets, which is pretty common in like the agency world, right? Because we need to know how much time we're putting on each project and which client they get billed to.
Billing out.
Mm-hmm. So we are pretty stringent. We were trying to play an offense and started a overtime policy to protect people from not doing long weeks. And so we do like a 10%. So everyone's mainly salaried and we don't want you to do more than a 44-hour week. So I kind of give ourselves like a 10% buffer, those extra 4 hours. Your manager will see if you're doing 47, 48, 49, 50 hours, and then we'll try to either compensate by cash or actually like trade you hours back. Like the following week, you can, you know, leave early.
Take some time off. Yeah. Is this a piece of software like lawyers used to use to bill clients?
Yeah, Harvest, which is like an agency type of tool, but there's a bunch of them. Yeah. Same idea.
More software.
Yeah, exactly. Well, as an entrepreneur who owns a services company, I'm obsessed with the idea of trying to build something that is SaaS because as Amos talks mm-hmm. about software as a service,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
it's an incredible business model. These are the type of companies that, you know, you're making money while you sleep, they scale, they grow, and often they get sold for 7, 8, 9, 10x the valuation of like the companies.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. Well, maybe we've sparked an idea with a listener today.
So what's SDPB's policy? Do we get like 5% of that idea or
right. Yeah. Where does that IP go now?
Ooh,
we were in the building here. So.
It was our ideas that stimulated it, right?
Well,
People want to talk more about this, you can I could talk all day, so you can email me john@lemonly.com if you have questions or thoughts. But I just think more so what I want South Dakota companies is just start thinking about it, because someday someone's going to come up to you, put their 2 weeks notice in, and you're going to be like, wait, like why? I thought you were happy. I thought you loved it here. Yeah, but you know, I want to be able to like take that trip early on a mm-hmm. Friday afternoon. I want to make Billy's soccer game. I want to, if there's a sick kid, can I work from home? And if your policy is just no, period, you're going to lose a lot of talent.
We have a bingo game we play at work, a conference call bingo, which is there's like things like oops, I was on mute, which gives you a space. Excuse me for a second, I gotta close the door. The dog is barking.
Yes, yeah, the dog.
Somebody's at the door. Somebody's vacuuming, that sort of stuff, because there are so many people who do this. It's not without things that need to be paid attention to, but almost everything you can overcome and find a way to mitigate those issues that would come up with having a remote worker.
Mm-hmm. That's when we, one last data point here, we did it last year, we did a company culture survey. We just asked millennials since that was kind of our audience that we were targeting, but I think this is across generations, but the number one thing people want from their workplace, flexibility. And so what I think as a CEO, I don't have to pay for that so much. I have to open my perspective of what's possible and how we do work and be willing to try and experiment. But in theory, they're not saying more money. They're just saying flexibility.
Do you think that corporations are changing their mind a little bit when we look at Sioux Falls specifically and the unemployment rate? And there's obviously more jobs than people.
Yes.
Is just becoming necessary?
I think that's part of a huge driver, yeah. And I think we talked about that a little bit on the Making a Living is why do we talk about company culture now and we didn't seem like we did 10 years ago?
Because you have to?
I think partly, but I also...
To be competitive, yeah, you do.
Yep. But I do think on the flip side, another 10 years forward, I don't think we'll talk about company culture because I think we'll just call it work. But I think the companies right now, the companies that are winning are the ones that are really embracing this idea. And I think 10 years forward, it won't be a winning losing. The companies that don't just won't exist.
If your job hasn't been taken over by AI, then.
Yeah, that's another fascinating one. So I saw that if you're a first grader right now, if you have a son or daughter as a first grader, they say that 46% of the jobs that son or daughter could possibly do don't even exist yet.
Wow.
So flip a coin. If your daughter or son is like, I want to be a doctor or a lawyer or a teacher or a soccer player, there's a coin flip that the other thing that they will actually be doesn't even exist.
Right.
Yeah. Right. That's There's been some interesting media out there. A few books have been written that are worth reading on the subject of AI. And who's going to come out on top is going to make a big difference in a lot of folks' lives in the coming years. And that's going to have to be another topic for another show because we have successfully exhausted another hour of tech radio. And thank you so much, Amos and John, for joining me today. And hopefully you'll be starting your weekend soon since we've been talking about that. That is all the time, though, we have for today. And just a reminder, SDPB is always there for you with our app or at sdpb.org. Go there and click on Listen. Have a great weekend, everyone.